Hello, and welcome to Pinecone Podcast, where we have conversations about issues that are important to you, like faith and family, religion and relationships, Christianity and the church, and a whole lot more. So grab a cup of coffee or your favorite drink, sit back, relax, and enjoy Art, Wes, and Lacey as they have a conversation on Evergreen's Pinecone Podcast. Okay, I'm excited to be here today, and I hope Lacey is too.
Oh, yeah.
Excited to be here for this podcast. This is going to be a little bit different than some of the things that we've done in the past. So, to start it off today, I want to read for you all Isaiah 1:17. And Isaiah 1:17 says, "Learn to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, plead the case for the widow." And Lacey, I've had some stuff going on this past weekend. We went on a youth retreat. Mm-hmm. Evergreen Church went on a youth retreat. And I was kind of looking at some scripture already in the message. And I that's a podcast for another day, mm-hmm. whether or not the message is a good version of the Bible. Right. But I think it gives us a different perspective on things. And Isaiah 1:17 says, "Go to bat for the defenseless."
I love it.
So I think that's going to really play into what we're going to talk about today. We have two special guests.
Yes.
In our studio, April Gillespie and Mallory Griffin. April, how are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you. How are you? Thanks so much for having us today.
Good. It's good to see you, Mallory.
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for having us.
Hey, thank you for being here. April and Mallory are with, if you haven't guessed it yet, it has to do with Isaiah 1:17.
Yeah.
Isaiah 1:17 house.
In Sevier County, specifically.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So, April, how about just tell us, what is Isaiah 1:17 house, and what does it have to do with the scripture we just
okay.
read?
Okay, so I'll start that way. And what it has to do with the scripture, you just said that in Isaiah 1:17, it says to defend the cause of the fatherless. That is just taking that small piece from that verse. But if you backtrack, I know that I'm guilty of taking a scripture and narrowing it down for what I need it to say. Mm-hmm. But really what you should do is go back just a few. In what context?
To put it in the context.
Yes. In what context is God talking to his people? So in Isaiah 1, 13, 14, 15, 16, he is talking to his people. And he's quite upset, very frustrated. He says, what you're doing is really making me angry. It's making me sick to my stomach. He says, you think I want your new moon festivals and your fancy jewelry, your fancy clothing, your fancy sacrifices. You make me sick. What I want you to do is, and then fill in with Isaiah 1:17. Mm-hmm. One of those is to defend the cause of the fatherless.
Right.
And if you read just past that, it says, when you do these things, it pleases me, and I can make your sins white as snow. And once you've done these things, you will have tasted the best in the land.
Hmm.
And that is what we want for these children.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. So the Isaiah 1:17 house is going to help us live out that mission.
Right. So the house, what's the house part? It's a house.
What for is what? It for?
Okay. So today, when a child is removed from their home for no cause of their own, it's not mm-hmm. their fault. They've done nothing wrong. They will be removed, and they will go sit at the DCS office, Department of Children's Services.
Right.
That office serves a purpose of paperwork and phone calls, mm-hmm. commercial carpet, cubicles. Mm-hmm. You can imagine what a government office looks like.
Right. Not a place for a kid.
No. It's not.
Especially someone who's just taken out of their home.
That is exactly right. One of their worst days. Yeah. So this is where they sit. Sometimes they're very dirty. Sometimes... Yeah. Yes. And sometimes the offices.
Well, true.
But I imagine they do the best that they can with what they're given. But the children sometimes are dirty. They have lice. They haven't eaten. Their clothes may be ill-fitting, uncomfortable. A placement for foster care can take hours, can take 3 hours, 5 hours, 12 hours. Sometimes it takes a night or three.
Mm.
And those children sometimes are... made to sleep in the office for lack of foster care placement. That is unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
But let's, even on a best case scenario, let's say it's 12 hours. Instead of them having to sit at that office on one of the most traumatic days of their childhood, what if there was a home? a home where they could have a lice treatment, a bubble bath with Elmo bubble bath and warm fluffy towels, a hot meal, new toys, a loving volunteer, someone to hold their hand and say, you've done nothing wrong and you are not alone. We want to lavishly love on those children on this day through this mission.
In Mallory, we have one such house just started up in Sevier County.
Yes, we're working on it.
So tell us. But we started that. You've had like the kickoff.
Yes. Oh, yes. Okay. So in November was our first kickoff. And so we invited all of Sevier County that we could to come and listen to at this expansion kickoff meeting. And then we've had two more meetings since then. Every month we've tried to meet. January we met. February we met. We just met again this last Sunday, and we will meet again on April 5th is our next meeting. And our fourth meeting, it's our last meeting. And we've just worked on awareness in our community, what the needs are, why this is a need. I think a lot of people don't understand the process of what happens when kiddos are removed from their homes and put into foster care. So we've tried to make sure that the awareness of the need for the home has been, you know, forefront. And honestly, people have just come to us knocking down our door, you know, saying, you know, we have a construction company. We want to be a part of this. We do cabinets. We want to be a part of this. We have a landscape business. Can we do your yard? And so right now we're still just in the process of awareness.
So you're going to try to build?
Yes. Yes. We had land donated here in downtown Sevierville. And so amazing blessing that a lot was just completely donated for this house to be built on. And we've had construction companies show up and say, my heart's in this and I want to be the construction company that gets this house built.
So in your process, you have started your fundraising, which my understanding is you need $150,000, $75,000 for the home, $75,000 for your first year budget.
Yes.
How is that going?
It is absolutely amazing. We're over $92,000 currently.
Awesome.
So we are so close. We will have our very last big kickoff fundraiser in May, and we just know that we'll be at our $150,000 then and can break ground this summer.
Is that is it going to be like a fundraiser dinner, or where can people find out information about how they can?
Definitely on the Facebook page.
Okay.
That will be a luncheon. It will be during the week.
Okay.
So follow the Facebook page for that. Isaiah 117 House, Sevier County. Stay tuned for that. That is going to be on Cinco de Mayo on May 5th.
Yeah.
So hopefully we can
remember.
Hopefully we can have some tacos that day. That would be the coolest.
Yeah.
So for any listeners out there, if you have the hookup with some tacos, we would really love that. We're a group of taco loving girls, but May 5th, and that is the fundraising luncheon of the year. There will be one each year.
Okay.
And that is how the funds will be raised for the following year. But like you said, $75,000 for a house. You live around here, you know, $75,000 doesn't buy a house. It doesn't build a house.
No.
That's where the fish and loaves come in. Mm-hmm. We're going to offer this money up to the Lord and pray that it'll be blessed and multiplied.
And you have already seen it blessed and multiplied, which is...
What a testimony.
Yeah.
It has just blown us away. All of us girls have said, we are nobody. We have what in the world are we going to bring to this ministry? And all God needed, and he tells us over and over again, I needed a willing vessel.
Yeah. Right.
And we have said yes, and he has shown us again and again every day.
And so this is a ministry. It's not just in Sevier County. So Isaiah 117 House started
in Carter County, up in Elizabethton, Tennessee.
By
Rhonda Paulson.
So how does someone start that?
You're going to love this story. Yeah. So she, I hate to tell her story because she is amazing. And she tells it so much better than we do. But she had two biological children, and she always knew she was going to be the mother of a child that she didn't give birth to through foster care, through adoption. And for 14 years after she had her children, she knew that this was going to be the case for her life. And her husband knew that it was not. So when she tricked him into taking the foster care classes, and on the third class, he said, Rhonda, you've wrecked me. You and God have wrecked me. Mm-hmm. I'm a wrecked man. And she said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I drug you into this. And he said, don't sorry me. And I am ruined. How do we know this information that there's such need and do nothing from this point forward? Mm-hmm. And so they continued the PATH classes. And on, I think, the seventh class, their meeting was at the Department of Children's Services there in their town. And the teacher of the class said, and this is where the children come once they're removed. And she raised her hand and said, excuse me, what did you just say? What do you mean? They stay here. And he said, a little girl slept here last night. And she said her shoulders felt heavy. Again, I'd give anything if you could hear her tell this. Mm-hmm. Her shoulders felt heavy, and she went toward the table that she was sitting at. And all she could feel in her spirit was God saying to her, these are my children. What are you going to do? Mm-hmm. And she started Googling nonprofits. And the funny story is that she was an anatomy professor and a cheer coach at a private college in Johnson City. Mm-hmm. So talk about ill-equipped. She's the first to say that she was. So that's how the ministry began. Her first foster child, his name was Isaiah. She said, when you have children that are older and you bring in a 6-month-old baby, you need to dig in deep to the word. So his name was Isaiah. They started reading in Isaiah, and they came across that verse, and it just took off from there.
Yeah, it didn't take them long to get to that verse. It's right.
No.
So it's like God's shouting.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's how he works, though.
Yeah.
It is. How did you get started?
So when you are a foster parent, you have a foster care support worker, and she comes to your home to make sure that your medicines are locked up and that you have batteries in your carbon monoxide detector and your smoke detector, and asks about your stress level and just wants to take care of you. And she said, this sounds like something that would be for you, but Cock County is doing a kickoff for something they want to bring to Cock County called the Isaiah 117 House. And she said, this is right up your alley. Why don't you come to this? And I said, no, you know, my plate's really full. I have to work. I'm probably not going to make it to that, but thanks. Mm-hmm. I look at my calendar after she leaves. And in my job, in my day job, I am allowed to be a member of the Chamber of Commerce for Gatlinburg, Sevierville, Pigeon Forge, Cock County. Mm. And on the same day as their kickoff in Cock County, I had a ribbon cutting across the street at the same time. So God will ordain your steps. You do have to move your feet. So I did that, and I went, and I wanted to talk to her, to the founder. I waited for just a moment, but she, as you can expect, had lots of people waiting to talk to her.
Sure.
And I had to go back to work. So I did, and I finally got her on the phone, and I called finally, and I said, you know, we're number 3 in the state for removal. Tell me why we don't have this for our children in Sevier County. And she said in her East Tennessee slang, honey, we've been praying for you to call. Your DCS region is already on board. We just need somebody from Sevier County to step up and take the lead. And that's where Mallory and I happened to fall into place. That's where God put us.
So there's a sort of a board, Sevier County board, that's doing this house. How are you all connected? Did you already know each other?
Yes, April and I have known each other for quite a few years, just through different community things. But how I got on board was I had a foster mom play date with a foster parenting life group that we have. And so we met at the park, and April tracked me down, and she said, listen, I got to tell you about this. I have to tell you all about it. And so she told me all about it, and she said, just pray about it. And I did. I'll go home. Yeah, I'll pray about it. But before I could even get home, I was like, let's do it. I don't know how it's going to happen, but we will be those willing people that'll just show up and know God will provide. But there's April and I, and then there's 4 other women that have just kind of just fallen into place with us. And the 6 of us took a trip over the summer up to the Carter County House. Okay. So that we could set eyes on what this house actually looks like. And it was wonderful to walk the rooms and hear the stories. And Rhonda met us there, so we got to spend the afternoon with her. And she had told us, you know, go home, all of you guys pray about it, you know, and reach back out to me. And we kind of joked, and we were like, this is the reach out.
Right.
Like, this, we have prayed about it, and we're going to continue praying, but what happens next?
Yeah.
Like, we're ready, and how you know, how do we proceed and what do we do next?
I think it's kind of neat. I've heard her talk before about how it changes the day for the child that's being removed.
Yes.
It kind of gives them the perspective that you haven't done anything wrong.
Yes.
This is something that's happening to you,
yeah.
not because of you. Mm-hmm. And it also helps the DCS worker mm-hmm. because they can stay at the house with the kid
yes.
and do all the paperwork they need to do while they're trying to find a home. But also for prospective foster parents, because they can say, you know, I think she says, imagine getting a phone call. We've got two kids. Their clothes are really dirty. They have lice.
Yeah.
You need to come get them. Versus we have two kids and they've been to the Isaiah 117 mm-hmm. house and they have had their first lice treatment
yes.
and they have a clean bag of clothes. Like, it just affects. It's mm-hmm. this big ripple effect, which
yeah.
I love. And I know one of the listener questions is going to be, how do I get involved with this? So tell us a little bit about that.
So I feel like right now we are in the stages of raising awareness. We're asking people buy the t-shirts, not just as our fundraiser, although that is, we have two fundraisers, lemonade stands and t-shirts. Buy the t-shirts. They start conversations.
Mm-hmm.
When you take it to the grocery store, you wear your shirt to church. What is love you're not alone? What does that mean when you wear your love you're not alone shirt on the front? It starts that conversation. You're not beating down anybody's door, but we are asking you that you start those conversations. So that is the prime way you can get involved right now. That's
okay.
what we need for sustainability purposes, and so that people are aware what's going on in your town. There are people who, you know, we've been talking about this for 6 months now that aren't aware. They've never heard of such a thing. They also aren't aware that we have children that are sometimes having to sleep in the DCS office. When foster parents get the phone call to take, a sibling set of two or three, and they don't have the space for them, and it's late at night, and those children end up sleeping in the DCS office.
Tell me the statistic. I know they've said it before. How many foster homes are in Sevier County?
There are 40 open DCS approved foster homes.
Okay.
And 240 children in custody in Sevier County.
Do all of those 40 homes currently have placements, or?
That's a great question. I don't know.
I don't know for sure, but I would assume so.
Okay.
Once you're at an approved foster home, the phone calls do start coming.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as you can say yes to a placement, you do, and they're in your home.
Right.
And
so the rest of those kids go to different counties, which means uprooting their school life, uprooting their...
Yes.
Even... I know that they get visits with their parents, but that makes it more difficult to be
yeah.
so far away. And...
Yeah, and you have to think about that. Like, not only are they being removed from their home, so mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, brothers, and sisters, but they're going to this brand new home and maybe a brand new school and a brand new church. And
mm-hmm.
It would be so wonderful if our kiddos, if there was a plentiful amount of foster homes mm-hmm. and we didn't have to send kids to different counties here in Sevier County.
You both have foster kids right now. Tell us a little bit about your families.
We do. My husband and I have fostered. This is year three for mm-hmm. fostering. We've had 9 precious kiddos come and go through our house. 4 of them have been placements. So 4 we have technically, they have come and stayed and then waited and seen what God will write up their story. 5 of them have been respite placements. So we knew going into it, it was short term or for a few days. I think one stayed for, or a set stayed for like 10 days. But you know, with respite, you know, going into it. And respite families are foster families that can take other foster families' kiddos.
Mm-hmm.
So as a respite family, we can offer that if somebody else needs a break for a weekend or they have a big event out of town and they just want to go, them and their husband. And so we've had 9 precious babies, and it's crazy and wonderful. And
yeah,
it is definitely right where we're just going to stay for a while.
Awesome.
And I have 1, and he is our first.
Okay.
And we started fostering last summer, and he has been with us ever since. And he is preschool aged, and at the time did not have siblings to speak of. But now he's got 2 big brothers, he calls them. They're 10 and 12, and they're inseparable.
That's awesome. So as of right now, people can mark their calendars for your next meeting, which, can you tell me that again?
Yes, it is at Creative Theater in Pigeon Forge on Sunday, April 5th at 2 p.m.
Okay. And also May 5th.
Yes.
Lunchtime area. Just get it on your calendar. There's going to be the fundraiser luncheon.
Yes, ma'am.
For Isaiah 117. And so we are
going
to...
Is that the taco lunch?
Hopefully.
Well, that's what we're hoping.
It's yes. Tuesday.
It's Taco Tuesday it's Taco on Cinco Tuesday, de Mayo.
Yeah. Can't go wrong how with you, tacos.
How do you not?
It's the perfect
right. We have to have tacos.
Right. Right.
And if Robert Kalina is listening, he is supposed to bring the tacos.
That
is his responsibility.
Robert has been really generous in giving us a creative theater space, well, so we dare not ask him for another thing.
I'm asking. I am personally telling him to bring the tacos.
Yeah, that's awesome.
He's the king of tacos. Oh.
Is there anything we can be praying for you all?
Yeah, I mean, all aspects of it, really. And the kiddos, the kiddos' biological family members, and the kiddos' foster, you know, future foster placements. All of them are so worthy of all of our prayers. Before the house ever has one piece of wood on it, mm-hmm. you know, I would say every aspect of the house being built and also praising how much has already happened.
Yeah.
You know, it's such a praise too.
So you're hoping to break ground this summer.
That's the hope. I mean, okay. that's just
our hope.
Little old us hoping. But, we don't know anything about construction, but we people have come to us who are pros at it, and awesome. They've not said those words, but we're just gonna speak that right into existence.
Mm-hmm. In the name of Jesus. Yeah. Yep. That's awesome.
I think a big way you could get involved too is through the Facebook page.
Absolutely.
I know the T-shirts or the shirts are good, but Isaiah 117 House, Sevier County.
Mm-hmm.
You can search for
like
it.
Like it. Yeah, search yes. for it. Like it.
Come to the events.
Yes. Share it.
Definitely.
So that everybody knows. So come to the events. And there's, I did notice there's like, you're collecting some stuff?
We are, yes. So before the house ever is built, we wanted to help out our local DCS office. And so each month we come up with a different item. So this is March, and we're doing feminine hygiene products and then full-size deodorants for boys and girls. And so a lot of times people reach out and say, our Girl Scout troop or our Rotary Club or 4-H, they want to do something for Isaiah 117 House. What can they do?
Mm-hmm.
And so this month, collect as many deodorants and feminine hygiene products as you can. You can... Anybody can drop them off at DCS, which is located right behind Golden Corral on 66. You can walk right in their front door and just say, here, take it. They will be, yeah, they're so thankful. You can bring it to the meetings. You can reach out to any one of us, and we're happy to come pick it up, too.
Absolutely. Great. And something else that you can do to help is set an alarm on your phone every day at 117 just to sort of remind yourself to keep us lifted up, mm-hmm. because we definitely need that. Like Lacey, you were saying a moment ago, you know, there are three main facets of who we want to love on, and that is the child on potentially their worst day,
mm-hmm.
and the foster parent. You know, can we give you dinner for the next couple of nights out mm-hmm. of our freezer? Can we give you a pack and play or a high chair? What can we do that's going to help you with this transition?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the DCS worker.
Mm-hmm.
They are some of the most overworked and underpaid people out there. So we want to give them their favorite coffee, or when we, you may have said this already, but when we get supper or lunch or breakfast for these children, we always want to include them.
Mm-hmm.
How can we love on you and help you do the job that is expected?
Yeah.
That's a tough one. That's a tough one.
And also just for the birth families, so many... It's difficult to have, I think, a good attitude whenever you know they've put possibly their child in a bad situation. But, you know, God is a God of restoration and healing, and he can do those things. So just even, I think, keeping them in mind is a good thing to do. If someone wants to be a foster parent, do you have some information for them?
Yes, I'm like the first one to say just do it. Like, just jump in and do it. Obviously, pray about that, but then jump in and do it as fast as possible. Right. We do post the Tennessee Key is the new name. It used to be called Path Classes. Tennessee Key is kind of what they've changed it over to this year. We post those on the Facebook page. I know they have classes that started this month, mm-hmm. March, and then we posted April and May classes. And reach out to anybody you know who fosters. April and I will try to be as open and transparent as possible with anybody who says, you know, I think God's calling us to this. Tell me what that really looks like in your home. What's mm-hmm. the reality of fostering, and what's the reality of kiddos leaving and working with DCS and biological family members? We are happy to be transparent and open as much as possible to encourage you. And we want to walk next to you. We've had a few people reach out, and they have started taking, you know, the classes. Mm-hmm. And of course, we just get like, you know, giddy little schoolgirls. We're like, oh my gosh, you know, there's more families. But again, when you know the need, it's so exciting to watch people step up and say, you know, as ill-equipped as I am, and as I say, as a hot mess as I am, you know, God can still use just regular old people to do big things.
And he calls us to do it. Yes. He calls us to love these kids, and he equips us to do it. And just because you don't feel like you have the grace to do that right now, in those days that you are doing it, I believe that God will give you the grace. So
always
just do it.
Just do
I'm
it.
I'm there with you.
Take that step. That's what it's all about with anything.
Well, a lot of people I think that I've encountered are very quick to tell me reasons why they couldn't. And I was one of those people. Why I can't do this. And I can get run down the gambit of here's why. Not a good time. Support system, all these ways to shortchange myself. And I really feel like that if God has laid that on your heart, if God's led you to that, if he's planted that in your heart somewhere, you feel that stir, then he's going to equip you. Mm-hmm. You'll have what you need. The support system will be built. Everything will fall into place. So don't shortchange yourself. Don't limit yourself, and definitely don't limit God.
Yes.
It can be done.
Awesome.
Yeah. You just have to make that step. Think about the woman who was healed in the crowd, you know, Jesus, and she reached out mm-hmm. and touched his robe. She had like the bleeding, mm-hmm. the issue of blood or whatever. And you know, I think what we sometimes miss in that story is there were probably people bumping into him all along. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, he's going through a crowd. None of them were healed.
But she took that risk.
But she took that risk. Yeah. She took that step.
She reached for him.
Mm-hmm. You know, and like, because I guess all the other stories that we hear about Jesus healing, he touched them, or he, you know, they had the faith, or he says your faith made you whole or whatever. But she reached out mm-hmm. and touched, and I think that comes into just what you all are talking about. Take that step. Yeah. I mean, you have to. Do you have to make that one step if you think God's asking you to do anything?
Yeah. I would say, you know, as you know, through the years of being a foster parent, the biggest thing I hear is that they couldn't say goodbye, or mm-hmm. they couldn't have a kiddo leave. Mm-hmm. And I was there. I've said that too. I was like, we'll foster, but you know, and we've said goodbye to three of, you know, our placements that we've had so far. And, you know, I was talking about it not too long ago. It's painful and it's hard mm-hmm. and it hurts your heart, but let me just tell you, that's exactly what the kiddos need. Mm-hmm. You know, fostering is not about you as the person. It's about those kiddos, and they deserve every ounce of love and heartbreak when they leave, mm-hmm. just like when they're in your home. So I would say that's the biggest one I hear is I could never let them go, or I could never say goodbye. And I promise you, you can. And God, mm-hmm. God heals that heartbreak when you realize you've shown up in a really hard season and loved mm-hmm. them very well through that season.
Definitely. Another one is, I'm afraid I would get too attached. And I love that one, because if you're not going to get attached,
you shouldn't be doing it.
Don't bother. Don't do this. Because right. these children don't need one more person in their life who's not going to be attached to them. They need head over heels, in love, smitten, doting, parenting. Mm-hmm. They need that. They need somebody.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking when Mallory was talking. That's the reason to do it.
Yeah.
And it is because you're going to get attached.
Absolutely.
Because it's
going
to be difficult. If you're anxious to see them go, then you're
perfect.
Yeah. No, if you're anxious to see them go, then it's not working. You're not.
Yeah.
Right.
If you're okay with them leaving, you don't need to be a foster parent.
No. Yeah.
If you're like, oh, well, you know, then you need to figure out something else to do with your life.
So that should be a reason that you should do it, because you're going to get attached.
Yeah.
Like that.
They deserve it, and it's, you know, it's forever, you know. No matter what season that kiddo is in, it's forever. That love that they feel, those connections that their brain is making, mm-hmm. that love, it's forever. It lasts with them forever.
A lot of them haven't seen or tasted real love.
Yeah.
And when they come into a foster home, hopefully they get a taste of that.
Well, and the Isaiah 117 house, that's like their first introduction to foster care, which is like, this might not be as bad as I'm.
What's super, super cool about the verse is that it talks about the widows. Mm-hmm. And Rhonda told us that at the Carter County House and a couple of the other houses is that it's kind of a twofer because a lot of the widows are signing up to be volunteers. So I thought, wow, way to go, God.
Yeah.
Because that's cool.
Yeah.
That is cool.
That is awesome.
That is.
Awesome.
Well, thanks for being
here.
Thank you for having us.
And everybody, like the Facebook page.
Yeah, and share it with all your friends.
Share it. Yes. Come to the event.
And buy shirts. They have long sleeve shirts now. You have hats, right?
Yeah, definitely.
It's awesome. You can deck your whole wardrobe out and support an awesome cause.
And the biggest one, I think, of all the biggest takeaway, 117 every day.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you know what? This might not be how you all kind of intended it, but I'm going to say, set that alarm on your watch, and it comes up, pray for Isaiah House, 117, Isaiah 117 House, and that's it. You don't have to do anything else.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to stop what you're doing and say a long prayer. That right there is the prayer. If everybody just thinks that at 117 every day.
Yeah, absolutely.
So set your watch. I'm good. That is a great idea. That is an awesome idea.
Thank you all for coming.
Thank you.
Looking forward to see what God does.
Yeah, we are. God bless you. God bless everybody listening.
Thank you.
We'll see you soon.